Stamattina è una grande gioia stare qui fra voi. I'm very happy this morning to be here with you for this Bible study and for this period of worship, for our studies together. I've been looking forward to this for some time. I'm always happy to have the opportunity to be with Christians and to study the Bible together. I am particularly happy when I can be together with folks that I have known before and share together in the things that we have in common in Christ. And then there is that special joy to be with those who know something about the work of the gospel in Italy, and those who have an interest in that, and those who are sharing and participating in that work as you are doing, and those who are personally invested in that, as so many of you are, and so many of you have been there, and you know these folks, and you know a lot about the things that are going on there. I'm very excited this morning to have the opportunity to come and report to you on some of the things that are happening there, at least in the areas where I labor when I'm over there, the things that I'm familiar with. I know that you have ongoing fellowship with Johnny Berdini and the preaching of the gospel there. I talked with him this morning, and he certainly sends his greetings to you. He knows that I'm here. He's always very tuned in when I go somewhere where he's being supported, because he's always waiting to see if it's going to be a disaster for him or a good thing for him that I came. So I'll try to make this a good thing for him this morning as we talk about the work that he is doing. I would say to you without hesitation that the fellowship that you are having with him, the encouragement that you're giving to him, is very fruitful indeed. There are lots and lots of good things going on there. And so I'm excited to tell you about that this morning. I will briefly go through the big picture of some of the works in Italy, and then I'm going to spend a disproportionate amount of time at the end talking about Johnny Berdini's work and the work in northern Italy in Monfalcone and Trieste, because that's the work that you have a particular part in, and so we will talk about that. Sandro Carazza and his family were very much a part of the establishment of the church in Rome in the early 1950s. Sandro was one of the first Italians, to my knowledge, was the first Italian to be baptized by American preachers after the end of the war in Frascati. I think last time I was here, I told you a little bit about his conversion. This was a photo taken in 1954 of some of the Christians at the Via Sannio meeting place. That was Sandro. Sandro is now in his early 90s. He is still in relatively good health for a man in that stage of life. One of the great contributions that he has made to the work in Italy is his translation of Bible study materials. He's translated a lot of commentaries, Bible class workbooks and study books for the Christians. The church there and Stefano, his son, along with Sandro, they make these materials available as they have the funds to print them and bind them. And not only the Christians there in Rome use these, but also Christians in other places. Elisabetta is pretty much homebound at this point. She has to be taken care of most of the time. Is not able to be out. It has changed Sandro's work a little bit, because he has additional responsibilities at home taking care of her. Stefano Carazza, his son, is doing the local preaching there at the Via Sannio Church there in Rome. And those two men serve as elders of the church there. Alberto Romoli was the other elder there. He died a couple of years ago. He was 91 or 92 years old. When he died, some great men. I'll tell you a little bit more about that work in just a moment. Rodolfo Berdini preached in Aprilia for 55 years. He died in 2007. These are some of the folks there in the Aprilia Church. The Aprilia Church is in the Rome metropolitan area. So these are churches in Rome. Francesco Foschi also is in that same area. He actually lives in Aprilia, was taught the gospel by Rodolfo. And his father, Francesco's father, served as an elder with Rodolfo in the church there in Aprilia many years ago. Francesco is now preaching for the group down in Latina, which is just a little further south. As you come out of Rome to the south, you have the church in Pomezia, where Roberto Tondelli is preaching. Then you have the church in Aprilia, and then you would have the church in Latina. So if you're going south, those are the churches that you're finding along the way. All of these within driving distance of Rome. Francesco Foschi has done a great work there in Latina. I will be with them again. I'm scheduled to be with them again. November 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th for a series of lectures with the church there. At the same time, I will be doing some work with the church in Ciampino, which is a new work that started just near Rome. These are some of the folks there in the church in Latina. I was there this summer along with my daughter Christy and a couple of her children, exceptional grandchildren, and had an occasion to be with them on a Wednesday night. We got some of the folks together afterwards, took a quick photo. This photo was taken back in the spring in the Via Sanio Church. Stefano Corazza preaching there. Marco Di Martino is a young man who has worked with us in the grotto studies. I will tell you more about the grotto studies a little later. Marco grew up in the church there in Rome, where Stefano is now preaching, where Alessandro was preaching for many years. Marco, after he became a Christian, decided that he wanted to prepare himself to continue the work of the gospel there, the preaching of the gospel. And in fact, he wanted to try to expand the gospel influence even into the area of the Rome metropolitan area where he lives, which is out in Ciampino. So they have opened a new work there in Ciampino. It's going very well. These are some of the folks from the church in Latina. This spring when we were there, we were not going to have an occasion to meet with the church in Latina. But one of the good things about being in the area is if there are Christians there who are visiting, the folks who live there, who don't get to have very many visitors, they look forward to occasions to meeting brethren from various places. And as Leon and Greg and Kip and others here will tell you who are there, they will make a great effort to find you when you're there. When we were down in the area around on the Amalfi Coast around the Vesuvio, Elio Ruggiero and his wife came over almost midnight one night to spend some time together with us. And then these folks drove up. We met them at the Appy Forum, I believe, and had a coffee with them and visited together. Our bus driver and tour director was about to have a heart attack while we were all doing that, but that was a very important visit, and we were very, very happy to be all together with them. It meant a lot to them. The only bad part of that was that they wanted everybody then to come and to worship with them in Latina and to be there for 2 or 3 days and have a big gospel meeting together. So one of the things they asked me to ask you is if the elders here would plan a gospel meeting in Latina to bring all the folks there, and they will try to learn some songs in English so that you can sing together, and they want to worship together. So you can put that on the agenda for your next elders meeting and see if you can get that worked out. Now, I don't know where this photo came from, but we did some very important things while we were together on this trip. And had a very good time. Johnny Berdini is the preacher that you are supporting up in Trieste. Now, Trieste is up in the northeastern part of Italy. It is on the Adriatic Sea. It's a port city, population of about 350,000 people. The church meets upstairs in an old building. I tell you that because they have just gone through a remodeling process in their meeting place. It had been 35 years since they had changed anything there where they are. It was really a process. I will tell you something that's hard for us to understand here. Their meeting place was bought sometime back in the 1950s. No one knows who holds the deed to the property now. It was lost. It was bought by some Americans. It is, it's not really possible for them to sell the meeting place because they don't hold the papers to it. As a matter of fact, it's not really possible for them to do some things structurally to their area of that big building. It's like buying a condominium when you own an apartment in a building like that, because they don't have the proof of ownership there. But they pay all the bills, they have for years. They meet all the legal requirements of folks that own property and inhabit a building, and everything's up to code there. But it's a unique situation. It has occurred to them at times that perhaps finding a meeting place that's on the street level instead of in an upper room, which, by the way, is very scriptural, but it has occurred to them that that might be better for them from a visibility standpoint. But if they leave this meeting place, they just leave it, and it goes back to the state. So obviously that's not an option for them. And they are there, and they're doing very well. When you go into the building, you pass through a big lobby area, and you go outside on the other side of the lobby area into a courtyard, into another entrance to the building, and then you go up a flight of stairs immediately to the place where they meet. There are two elders in the church in Trieste. They were appointed in 2009 or 2010, Johnny Berdini and Antonio Tomasi. We do a lot of public Bible conferences there, and this is the way we advertise the Bible conferences, with posters on the walls along the city. You have to contract with a company to place the poster. It's like the billboard business in the States. You can't just go put up your own billboard. You have to contract with companies who have their own the rights to those signs. And so these companies own the rights to the places where the posters go, and you have to contract with them to put up the posters. But this is how we advertise the meetings along the way. This was one of our conferences on the Da Vinci Code several years ago. All of the materials that are used there have to be written and printed and prepared by the people there. There is no bookstore in Italy that sells material for the Christians to use. You can't call and order tracts. You can't call and order workbooks for your children's Bible classes. Obviously, there's no place to call. They could order stuff from the States, obviously, but we don't have a lot of stuff in Italian here. All of our material is in English. So the end result is that the preachers in Italy probably do more of the writing and printing and publishing and distribution of this kind of stuff than we're accustomed to doing here, because here we have other options for getting some of that work done. Over there, they have to do all of that themselves. I say that to you for a couple of reasons. Number one, so you can have some appreciation of the work that they're doing over there. Secondly, because you need to know that when you are having financial fellowship with these men, they are using their resources not just for their own livelihood, they are doing that, but they're using their resources also to buy paper, to buy ink, to buy printers, to buy software, publishing software, for these kinds of things. These are normal, routine, monthly expenses that every preacher in Italy incurs as he is doing his work. It is at times a situation that is limiting to them, because obviously they're limited in their own personal resources. But the rest of that story is that when they receive help for the work, some of the help that they are receiving is going to the production and distribution of materials like this. One of the things for the last several years, one of the things that I have spent a disproportionate amount of my time doing is working with younger men in Italy, trying to prepare them to do the work of teaching the Bible and preaching the gospel. The work in Italy in our lifetime really had a resurgence after World War II. As preachers went back to Italy and began teaching and preaching, one of the first realities after the war is that Italy, like other European nations, Italy was very much impoverished because of the war. People were starving. People were in need of just the basic necessities of life: food, clothing, shelter. It was a very difficult time in Italy after the war. When American preachers went to Italy and began preaching, it was not possible amongst the, as they began to convert a few folks here and a few folks there, it was not possible for them to fully support the preaching of the gospel there. The Italian people at the time could not support themselves, much less someone to come there and preach the gospel. As a result, the Americans who were preaching there were supported by American brethren who were helping them to go there and to preach there. One of the things the American brethren did in Italy that is different from some of the things that happen in some of the other countries is that they immediately began teaching and preparing some of the young Christian men in Italy to do the work of preaching. So what happened was, in one generation, very quickly, you had 5, 6, 7 Italian men who were preaching the gospel, which was a very good thing to have. The reality was, however, that those Italian men who were preaching the gospel were being supported by American brethren, because the Italian churches were very small and the people in those churches were, for the most part, very poor people. The next generation came along and the churches became a little larger. Economically and politically, Italy has continued to flounder, and maybe not founder, but close at times. One of the things the Italians are seeing in our present situation is that we seem determined politically to go the same way that they went 20, 30 years ago. And they don't understand why, which frankly I don't either, but anyway, that's another class. In their second generation, the churches grew, but their ability to support the preaching of the gospel did not necessarily change. We are now coming into the third generation of Christians there in Italy. And one of the things that is happening at this point, just back in 2007, Rodolfo Berdini died. He had preached in Apulia for 55 years. When he died, he had not prepared anyone to continue the work of the preaching of the gospel there, laboring with those brethren. His grandson is doing the preaching there now. His grandson, who is from the Pomezia church, is doing the preaching there now. But there had been no one prepared for that work. And if you want to have a preacher for one of the churches in Italy, who are you going to call? In the States, if there's a new congregation that's getting started and they're looking for someone to preach, they'll contact Leon or one of you all, and they'll say, hey, do you know a preacher who might be looking to relocate sometime soon, and would he be interested in coming to work? In Italy, you can count the preachers on your hand, on your fingers on your hand, still have fingers left over. There's nobody to call to bring in. One of the sobering realities of Rodolfo Berdini's death in 2007 was that as the third generation is coming now onto the scene, the Italian Christians need to prepare themselves to carry on their work. And that really is the background to our work in northern Italy, Johnny Berdini and myself, in beginning to work with these young men, teaching them, preparing them to be Bible class teachers, to write material, to give public presentations, to preach the gospel, to work with local churches, to do public Bible conferences. We're trying to teach them to do every aspect of the work. But the thing that we are also trying to do at the same time is to make sure that now that the Italian churches are arriving into the third generation, we are trying very hard to equip these churches, these men in particular, to equip them to do their work in carrying on the work of the gospel in Italy using their own resources and doing it without the necessity of help and assistance funds, financial funds, from other places. The goal in mind was to help them arrive at a point where they can do their own work with their own resources, using their own men, and the gospel can go forward. And that they not only will be able to do that in their local church, but as the local church is stabilized, and as it matures, that they will be able then to send men out and begin to do the same thing in other areas so that they are propagating the gospel in Italy. And that's one of our goals. I spend a lot of time when I'm there doing individual studies with some of the men there. The church in Pisa is where Arrigo Corazza is. The church down in Naples, near Naples, is actually in Poggiomarino. It's where Elio is. Elio's father was one of those men back after World War II and Sandro Corazza, Rodolfo Berdini, Elio's father, Vincenzo Ruggiero. These men were taught by American preachers. Sandro ended up preaching at Viasegno. Rodolfo ended up preaching in Apulia. Vincenzo ended up in the Vesuvio area, the Naples area, ended up preaching in Poggiomarino. When Elio was 16 years old, his father was in his 50s. His father had a heart attack and died. Elio was left with his mother and his two sisters. Elio was the only male in the family. 16 years old, he took up his father's work. He stepped into his father's shoes. He took up the work of preaching for that congregation there in Poggiomarino, and he continues to this day in that work. Elio, for all of these years, has taken care of his aged mother. She is approaching her later 80s now. She is a diabetic. She's had heart surgery, and she's kind of had a rough summer. Has been homebound for several weeks. The last few weeks, she's been able to be back at the worship periods with the church, and that's been a great joy for them. Elio, in taking care of his mother, was also stepped into his father's shoes in another way. His father was an herbalist. An herbalist in Italy is, they were the GNC people of their day. And Elio learned how to make natural supplements for people, and they had a shop, and that's how he supported himself and his mother. Valerio Marchi is preaching in Udine. Valerio was converted actually by Gianni Berdini and Stefano Corazza back in the 1990s. He was just finishing law school at the time, and he was in the hospital in Trieste. He was studying the Bible. He saw an advertisement in one of the publications for a Bible course. He called the number. Gianni Berdini responded. He went to the hospital to meet him. And the end result was, after months of study together, that Valerio became a Christian. Valerio's family was very focused on him being a lawyer. They're very traditional Catholic people. They had, in the area where they lived, they were people of repute. Their son had been well educated, and then he had been sent to law school, and he was finished with his degree. He was taking the final bar exams and everything. And then he got mixed up with this strange notion about Christianity and the Bible, and told his parents that he was not going to practice law, that he was going to preach the gospel. And they admitted him to a psychiatric hospital. And he was not crazy, he was convicted. And he got married. His wife was a Christian, and they were working there with Stefano and Antonella back in the 1980s. In 1990, Stefano moved back to Rome, is now with the Viasegno Church where his dad is. Valerio is still in Udine preaching the gospel there. They have a group of about 65, 70 people there. A lot of the group are from the continent of Africa. And folks who have immigrated into Italy and are in northern Italy to work in the factories, a lot of industry up in that area. In the church in Udine, there is the Enzio Kuhn family. Some of you know Anna Kuhn, who married Joel Holt, and some of you may know Lorenzo Kuhn, who is now married, and last I knew, they were living in Athens. I assume maybe they are still there. This is a photo of Elio, and a photo of his wife. I don't know how that photo ended up right there. Elio and his wife, when we were there in March, they came over. I don't know what time it was. This was way into the night when this photo was taken. If we're looking a little tired, we were. And they still had an hour to drive back home, and she had to work the next day. She is an intensive care nurse in the hospital where she works. There's a church down in Syracuse, Sicily. A very interesting group of people. They got started in a very unique way. Three of the men who were friends together found a tract. They taught each other the gospel. They baptized each other. That's how the church got started there. It's an amazing story. Some wonderful folks in the church there. These are Greg's people, if you all need to know anything about Sicily and the church there. There's a church up in Brescia near Milan. Also a lot of African folks from Ghana in the church there. It is primarily made up of folks from Ghana. Those are some of the places where I have been where I have engaged in trying to teach and preach the gospel. Let me explain a couple of things to you. When I first began going to Italy and trying to be of help and assistance, the first time I went to visit Gianni Berdini and Stefano Carazza because we were having financial fellowship with them in the work there. But as I continued to go and to work there, as I was learning the language so that I could prepare myself to teach and preach in Italian, one of the things I tried to do early on was every time I was there, I tried to go to every church and the visit, because I would think, well, I don't know when I'll get back here, so I need to go here and see them. I need to go see them. And so I'd be 1 or 2 days here, 1 or 2 days here, 1 or 2 days here, 1 or 2 days here. That works when you're in your 20s, but when you're an old man, it does not work. And the rest of that story is it works as far as exhorting and encouraging people. Sometimes you need more time to deal with specific subjects and specific issues. If you need to study something that's going to take more than a one-shot, two-shot lessons from the pulpit kind of thing, you need more time. The challenge then became balancing out my time as I would go from place to place. It's not possible for me now because of the number of groups there. It's not possible for me when I go there now to visit all the churches in each trip. As a matter of fact, some places are much more difficult to get to. And in a strange way, some places are much more expensive for me to go to and work than other places are. There are a lot of reasons for that. But the reality is, we passed through Sicily, and I met with Massimo, some of the folks from the Syracuse church, just very quickly as we were passing through. But we were not in Sicily, in Syracuse, for a worship service with the church there. And I have not been with them for a worship period. This is the third year since I have been there. So it's been a while since I've been down there. Sicily's not close to anything else in Italy. I mean, if you go to Sicily, you're making a trip to go there. You don't just pass through Sicily on your way somewhere. One of the challenges for me in Poggio Marino, the last time I preached in Poggio Marino, I think the last time I preached there, I may be confused about this, We were there, what year? 2012. May have been the last time that I preached there. I'm not positive about that. I may have preached there once since then. Poggio Marino is another place that I don't often pass through. Even if you pass through Naples, you don't exactly pass through Poggio Marino. You have to go to Poggio Marino on purpose. It's even hard to go there on purpose, really, because it's on the backside of the volcano. And by the time the roads get smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally the bus has to stop and you get off and you have to walk. But we made it, and nice folks there. But one of the things that, as I was just talking with Elio just a couple of weeks ago, one of the things that he reminded me of is that that visit in 2012 was a huge encouragement to the church there. It was huge for them. And then he said, you know, we don't get a lot of people passing through here like the church in Rome. And that is true. A lot of people, if they're in Italy on business or whatever, they're in Rome or they're in Milan. Not a lot of people are in Poggio Marino. So the visitors they have are visitors that are going there on purpose, and they have very few of those. But one of the things he was saying to me was how much that had meant to the church there, what a great encouragement that had been, and how appreciative he was of the effort that had to be made for us to have done that. And then the effort that was made for us to be together again this March, when he and his wife came over and spent some time with us, even though we weren't able to worship together with them. And I reminded him that they were really the ones that made the effort, because they drove for an hour through those little windy roads to be with us. And his point in all of that was, he said, you all, when you're together, he said, we sense the fellowship and the camaraderie that you have. You know each other, you love each other, you spend time together. And it seems that, he said, it seems to us that you all are in this dream world, you know, where you're always together, you're always can encourage one another, you're always helping each other, you can always worship together, you can always study together, your life is much easier in that regard. And he said, we're not crying or complaining. He said, but we're saying to you, it's a big thing to us when you come. And it is a big thing to them to worship together. Johnny Berdini and I started doing the grotto studies 6 years ago. And we're working constantly with young men. Elio has come up and worked with us. We're working constantly with young men, trying to prepare them to do the work of teaching the gospel and preaching the gospel. But one of the differences is we are not encouraging any of these young men to quit their jobs and become preachers and write to other churches asking for help. What we're encouraging these churches to do is to acknowledge and appreciate the resources they have among them, the human resources they have among them. There are people who are capable of learning how to teach a Bible class, people who are capable of learning how to deliver sermons for the church. There are people who are quite capable of speaking publicly, doing public Bible conferences. There are fewer who are capable of that, but there are those who are capable of doing that. And what we're saying to them is, look, you may have to divide up this work, and you may have to share it among yourselves in a different way, perhaps, than the way it's been done in the past. But you can be the people that God has called you to be, and you can do the work that God has called us to do just using the resources that you have. And as we go forward, it's going to become more and more important that these churches learn to do that. We did an entire conference on the development of the Italian text that is used today. And then we published the book on this material. It is a book that starts with the ancient manuscripts, and it traces the development of the Italian text. Now, in the English language, who's the professor at Abilene that did that? Neil Lightfoot. Neil Lightfoot on how we got the Bible, how we got the English Bible. What we tried to do was, in a general, following the general pattern of that, is just go back to the original to the ancient manuscripts, and then just develop the Italian text right down to today, to the Italian Bible that they had. It was important to study this. And let me say something to you. I'm going to be talking about this this professor of religion in the next hour. There is a professor at the University of North Carolina by the name of Bart Ehrman. Dr. Ehrman has written several books. He is the most renowned scholar on the ancient manuscripts, probably the most renowned in the world. He certainly thinks so. And he, at one time, was quite an apologist for the historicity and veracity of the text. Unfortunately, that didn't last very long, did it, Leon? And now, he has written book after book discrediting the historicity, the authenticity, and the veracity of the text. You think that's done damage in the evangelical circles in this country? It has. But let me tell you something. For all the damage it may have done here, you just multiply that by 10 in Western Europe. His books have been translated into 28 different languages, and his books have had a tremendous, devastating effect on the attitude of Western European people toward the text of the Bible. One of the reasons that we focused on the text is because it's fundamental now in the conversion process, that before it even matters that you open up the Bible and show someone what Acts 2 and verse 38 says about Peter's command to be baptized for the remission of sins. Opening up the Bible and showing them a scripture is nothing until you establish that the Bible is the Word of God. We have to start there. Very, very fundamental and important. So we spend a lot of time in these classes together. These are some of the young men that we are working with over there. Let me just say to you, we're making progress. The Grotto Studies just a few weeks ago. I told Johnny, I wish I could take these guys, because I knew I was coming here. In fact, I was working on the material while I was there. I said, I wish I could take these guys to Hansville with me and let them get up and deliver their lessons for the brethren at Hansville so that they can see. And Johnny said, didn't the Apostle Paul say something about that in 1 Corinthians 14? I said, well, you can translate for them. The 6 years ago when we started this, the guys had a lot of enthusiasm for it. They had a lot of desire for it. They really did not. They did not know much about how to do it. Now, I wish you could hear them. I wish you could hear them deliver their lessons, tremendous. Tremendous. There are four of these guys. I'm telling you, there are four of these guys that we could put in public Bible conferences right now in a hotel with an advertised theme, and they could speak to the public. They have really, really come a long way. I want you to know that the work that Johnny Berdini is doing with the churches in Trieste and Monfalcone far surpasses just the establishment of local works there. But a tremendous amount of the work that he is doing there is his investment in these young men who are preparing themselves to be teachers and preachers of the gospel for the next generation. It is a tremendous work. It is a very worthwhile work. And Johnny Berdini is doing a fantastic job with all of that. I personally want to thank you for your fellowship with him and for the good things that you have done for him, for the encouragement that you have given him, for the visits that you have made to him, and for the future visits that you are planning to have there. I appreciate that. I'm thinking that really soon there's going to be an elders' lunch in Trieste on Piazza Unità, and they're all going to be drinking cappuccino and espresso and talking about the work. So that's going to be a great day. Thank you so much for your careful attention to these things. I'm grateful to God for the opportunity to share in the gospel and for the encouragement and the help that you've given to me to be a small part of all of this. Thank you very much.